Dance, dance, dance. Traveling between Reardon and Wellpinit, between the little white town and the reservation, I always felt like a stranger. I was half Indian in one place and half white in the other. It was like being Indian was my job, but it was only a part-time job, and it didn't pay well at all. The only person who made me feel great all the time was Penelope. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, my mother and father were working hard for me, too. They were constantly scraping together enough money to pay for gas, to get me lunch money, to buy me a new pair of jeans and a few new shirts. My parents gave me just enough money so that I could pretend to have more money than I did. I lied about how poor I was. Everybody in Reardon assumed we Spokanes made lots of money because we had a casino. But that casino, mismanaged and too far away from major highways, was a money-losing business. In order to make money from the casino, you had to work at the casino. And white people everywhere have always believed that the government just gives money to Indians. And since the kids and parents at Reardon thought I had a lot of money, I did nothing to change their minds. I figured it wouldn't do me any good if they knew I was dirt poor. What would they think of me if they knew I sometimes had to hitchhike to school? Yeah, so I pretended to have a little money. I pretended to be middle class. I pretended I belonged. Nobody knew the truth. Of course, you can't lie forever. Lies have short shelf lives. Lies go bad. Lies rot and stink up the joint. In December, I took Penelope to the winter formal. The thing is, I only had $5, not nearly enough to pay for anything. Not for photos, not for food, not for gas, not for a hot dog and soda pop. If it had been any other dance, a regular dance, I would have stayed home with an imaginary illness. But I couldn't skip winter formal. And if I didn't take Penelope, then she would have certainly gone with somebody else. Because I didn't have money for gas, and because I couldn't have driven the car if I wanted to, and because I didn't want a double date, I told Penelope I'd meet her at the gym for the dance. She wasn't too happy about that. But the worst thing is that I had to wear one of Dad's old polyester suits from the disco era. I was worried that people would make fun of me, right? And they probably would have if Penelope hadn't immediately squealed with delight when she first saw me walk into the gym. "Oh my God," she yelled for everybody to hear. "That suit is so beautiful. It's so retroactive. It's so retroactive that it's radioactive." And every dude in the joint immediately wished he'd worn his father's lame polyester suit. And I imagine that every girl was immediately breathless and horny at the sight of my bell-bottom slacks. So drunk with my sudden power, I pulled off some lame disco dance moves that sent the place into hysterics. Even Roger, the huge dude I'd punched in the face, was suddenly my buddy. Penelope and I were so happy to be alive, and so happy to be alive together, even if we were only a semi-hot item. And we danced every single dance. 19 dances, 19 songs. 12 fast songs, 7 slow ones. 11 country hits, 5 rock songs, 3 hip-hop tunes. It was the best night of my life. Of course, I was a sweaty mess inside that hot polyester suit. But it didn't matter. Penelope thought I was beautiful, and so I felt beautiful.